May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Where do we see God? When I was a young child, my parents told me that God lived up in heaven. So I distinctively remember going outside and looking up into the sky as far as possible with the hope that I might be able to catch a glimpse of God. Even today, I still find myself stopping to look for God. So I immediately found myself intrigued a few weeks ago when a good friend of mine shared from the book she was reading, Mulberry Park by Judy Duarte. The story centers around Annalisa, our 7-year-old heroine, whose missionary parents tragically died within a month of each other in the town of Rio del Oro, where they were serving and living along with Annalisa. Now, Annalisa finds herself back in California in the summer, living with her Uncle Sam, who is a good man, but contrary to Annalisa's upbringing, does not go to church. Annalisa misses her parents terribly and decides to write a letter to God, asking God to tell her parents that she loves them and is being good. She also wants to know what her mommy and daddy are doing up in heaven. Finally, she puts a marker in the envelope for God to use to write a reply just in case they don't have pens in heaven. She seals up the letter and ponders how best to get the letter to God. When she spots the giant tree in Mulberry Park across from her home, she instantly knew that if she could just get her letter into the branches at the top of the tree, God could reach down from heaven and pick up the letter addressed to God from Annalisa. In today's gospel lesson, we don't have to climb the tallest tree or strain our necks to look for God, because God, in the form of Jesus Christ, came down and stood on level ground to be among the people and look into our eyes, to heal and teach us, and to show us the way. But first, let's put this gospel reading into context. In the passage right before today's gospel, we learn that Jesus was up in the mountains and had spent the whole night in prayer. In the early morning, he called his many followers and chose the 12, we clearly know to be his apostles. It is at that point when today's gospel begins. Scholars refer to this passage as part of the Sermon on the Plain, which most consider to be Luke's version of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. Jesus and the 12 descended from the mountain and stood on a level place amidst a great crowd of his followers and a great multitude of people from all over the region. Why did so many people come? We are told they came to hear him, and most importantly, to be healed of their diseases and unclean spirits. And the power came out of Jesus and healed all of them. Wow. Over the years, my wife Suzanne and I have always been cognizant of the fact that everybody has stuff. Things they are dealing with, such as family needs, relationship issues, health concerns, financial worries, work situations, addiction problems, motivation, and on and on. Today we hear that Jesus comes to all of us on eye level to heal us, which gives us hope and peace that ultimately everything will be okay. Jesus not only came to heal us, but to teach us. And in so doing, contrasts two different ways of life, our way and God's way. Whereas the prophet Jeremiah said in this morning's Old Testament reading, "Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. I've had the privilege of preaching at St. Francis since 2010, and I always begin my preparation by opening my study Bible, which my sister gave me 40 years ago. Today, it is held together by duct tape and is full of special notes and cards from my family. Some of you have seen it in our study groups. It is also full of passages that have been underlined and highlighted in yellow, orange, pink, green, and blue. And there are hundreds of notes in the margins, which is a trick I learned from my grandfather, Pop, a Methodist minister and Navy chaplain. These notes contain my personal reflections, as well as comments from friends and preachers over the years. As I turned to today's gospel to focus on the Beatitudes, I came across a series of notes at the bottom of the page, which helped open up the Beatitudes to me. Lasting happiness is God's. It lasts forever and is something money can't buy. True riches are not of this world. We must be in touch with God's standards, not ours. One of my commentaries also helped explain that today's biblical message is not only that God redeems us, but that God blesses us as well. The Beatitudes call us back to the power of blessing and being blessed. They are pronouncements of blessing. God, as Father, rejoices in his children and voices his fondest hope for them. The Beatitudes characterize God's people both in their attributes and in the reality that they are blessed by God. In the first Beatitude, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," is quickly compared with a similar Beatitude from Matthew. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In Luke's version, we are forced to come to grips with the fact that Jesus was not talking about the humble, but the poor. Those who, for whatever reason, are forced to live in inhuman situations. The poor were very much on the mind of Jesus because the life they lead is contrary to the will of God. In contrast, Jesus also proclaims, "Woe to the rich," which is hard for many to hear. However, it is important to realize that the promise to those who are poor is the kingdom of God, which is everlasting, while the power and wealth of those who are rich are transitory. As many of you are aware, I've been blessed to work as a layperson with the deacons of our diocese for the past 8 years. Our Book of Common Prayer states that the ministry of a deacon is to represent Christ, particularly as a servant of those in need. Deacons are charged with raising up laypersons to go outside of the church and minister to the needs of the world. Or as our archdeacon often says, the job of a deacon is to make the uncomfortable comfortable and the comfortable uncomfortable. I've been forever inspired by the work our parish has done in feeding and taking care of the homeless in our area through the St. Luke's Breakfast and Shower Program, through the Blue Bin Ministry, volunteering at Harbor Interfaith, and in handing out backpacks full of clothes, food, and toiletries to the homeless. While we continue to minister to those in need, Jesus assures us today that the hardships of this present life will disappear in God's kingdom. Jesus also shows us the way. In today's epistle, Paul does not speak about blessings and woes, but instead focuses on the promises of the Beatitudes, which are realized through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The crux of our faith is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead. Paul is emphatic that we cannot state otherwise and proclaimed, "If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. And that is the good news. Christ's resurrection ensures that all of us will receive this gift, this hope of life everlasting, where we will dwell in God's eternal love, joy, grace, and peace. So where do we see God? At Mulberry Park, Annalisa's letters are answered, and the people in the park interact with each other and minister to one another. Were the letters answered by God or by people in the park that God was using? Or does it matter? The childhood version of me looked for God way up in the sky, but now I see God wherever I look. In sunrises and sunsets, along the ocean trail, in the snow-capped mountains, in my wife, my family, and friends, and in the mundane moments of the everyday. And in the people I am fortunate to meet along the way of this journey we call life. Like my friend Nancy, who went home to God this past Tuesday, but not before Paula and I had the privilege of taking part along with her family in her Spirit-filled last rites service. And God was right there in the midst. May each and every one of us always look for the blessings of God each day of our lives, and may we constantly ask ourselves, where do we see God? Amen.